Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much. We are now going to resume our work after this coffee break that the Legislative Assembly of the Autonomous Region of Madeira has offered us. And thank you very much for that. And we are also going to continue our presentations on this topic. Now I'm giving the floor to Pedro Sepúlveda, the Director of Climate Action and Sustainability Services from the Regional Directorate for the Environment and the Sea in the Autonomous Region of Madeira.
I'd like to start to say that I'm truly honored to be here with you today and to be able to speak a little bit about what Madeira has been doing towards climate change adaptation, its strategies and actions towards biodiversity protection. I will focus my presentation today on the adaptation. And so in 2015, Madeira approved its climate adaptation strategy. And the vision of that strategy is as stated here. So climate change adapted region with real engagement of its society and integration of its environment. So the vision of our strategy puts the environment on the central point of the strategy. The strategy is designed with 8 key sectors, and 2 of them are the most interesting for what we will speak today. So biodiversity is one of the key sectors, and the forests is also another one of the key sectors. And so I would like to present you a question. So why does biodiversity play such a relevant role in Madeira's adaptation strategy? I think you had the opportunity to visit the Laurel Forest yesterday, and you might have an idea of why is this so important for us. But this importance, and Madeira as a hotspot biodiversity, is known since the 18th century, the 19th century. Charles Darwin, in its Origin of Species, mentioned 23 times Madeira. So it's more or less the number of times that Galapagos is mentioned in this book. A publication of 2008 listed 7,452 species on terrestrial part of Madeira. Most of them are more or less unknown, like arthropods, lichens, and spermatophyta, the seeded plants. It's only 15% of this biodiversity. And the thing is that we have nearly 1,500 endemic species and subspecies. This means that they only exist here. So this makes it quite important. This biodiversity comes from marine birds, spiders, snails, reptiles, and I mentioned the ones on terrestrial, but we also have a very interesting biodiversity in the sea. The most prominent species is the monk seal. But this was biodiversity of species, but we also have habitats. I chose the Laurel Forest as the main theme, but I could also speak about the Mantegna's Massif, the altitude habitats, the habitats of Ponta de São Lourenço, coastal habitats, Porto Santo and its islets. But just outside Funchal, you can see 3 little islands. It's the Desertas. Or far away from here, near the Canary Islands, we have Selvagens. This is a photograph of Selvagem Pequena, an island that has no introduction whatsoever in its terrestrial part, so pristine habitats. Madeira has a history of conservation way before climate change was this very important theme. So in 1982, Madeira Island created the Madeira Natural Park, 2/3 of the island, to celebrate the coexistence of nature and people. It has areas of strict protection. On top of the slide, you can see Caldeirão Verde, a very beautiful spot, but also landscape protection, Curral das Freiras and Paulo do Mar, so places where people live. And most of it is protected by the Natura 2000 Network's Habitat and Bird Directive. But it's also, as it was mentioned before, Laurel Forest is a World Heritage Site since 1999. So we have a compromise with nature because we are taking care of habitats that are World Heritage Site. So it's for all humankind. Another example is the Selvagens Island Nature Reserve. It's the southernmost territory of Portugal, just nearby the Canary Islands, and they, Selvagens give us the Atlantic perspective for Madeira and also for Portugal and also for Europe. It was created in 1971, the reserve. It's a terrestrial and marine reserve, and it was the first Portuguese reserve. It was the key species for this reserve was the Coris shearwater, but it's Selvagens Island is a marine bird sanctuary for different species, and it received in 1992 the European Diploma for Protected Areas. But the enlargement of its marine area in 2019 up to the 12 nautical miles turned this reserve into the biggest no-take reserve in Europe. Here, closer to us, the Desertas Islands Nature Reserve, created in 1919, again a terrestrial and marine reserve. Its iconic species, the monk seal, the most endangered seal in Europe. Back then, we had 8 individuals of the species. Nowadays, it's around 30, more or less. But it's also important for other marine birds, fauna and flora. Very different endemic species occur just in Desertas Islands. Again, this reserve received the European Diploma in 2014. And the last example is right here in front of us, the Garajal Partial Nature Reserve, created in 1986, the first Portuguese exclusively marine reserve. Its iconic species, the dusky grouper. But it has other fauna, and it's protected by the Habitats Directive. It's just outside Funchal, so it's an urban reserve. And we have a lot of human activities occurring there. It's one of the most important, if not the most important, diving spot here in Madeira. So if you want to go there, it's very nearby. So all these types of reserves, the heritage site, the Natura 2000, the natural park, geological monuments, you see a map of Madeira here on the right side. 66% of the land has some level of protection, 89% of the territorial sea, so up to 12 miles, is also under protection. So you saw the dates. This is, most of it has 40 years or more. But now let's speak a little bit about future of conservation. So in 2019, we had here a project that showed that Madeira is not just nature above the water. We're speaking about deep sea biodiversity, so corals, gorgonias, kelp forests, lots of squid, fishes, sharks, and some species that are not well known for science. So Madeira is also a hotspot for deep sea biodiversity, and a lot of the environmental challenges that we have also to be dealt in the deep sea habitats. And so because of this, a few days ago, I think less than a month ago, we have the creation of this huge reserve in Portugal. You see there the red line, it's not really visible, but you see that drawing over there, it comes into the red line. The red line is the EEZ area of Madeira. And so this area has a total of 173,000 square kilometers, twice the Portuguese land area. It was a tribute to one of our oceanographer kings, Dom Carlos, and it's meant to protect seamounts and deep sea. But also, not just protection, we need to compatibilize these areas with other interests like fisheries, and our artisanal fisheries. So taking into account the Madeira EEZ, it's 56,000 square kilometers, and 15% of all of our EEZ is already protected. So we are halfway for the 30 by 30 international objective. So I told you about the history of conservation. What about historical risks pressures that we have here? Forest fires is one of them. These images here show a little bit of what has been some recurrent events that we are having here. But I could also mention the alluvium or flash flood with our orography. Whenever we have huge precipitation in the mountain, we might have some of these events occurring. It has a huge effect on humans, but also on biodiversity and habitats, of course. The presence of exotic and invasive species, either from forest to coastal habitats, or more recently, the presence of an algae that is colonizing our ocean. This is something to be that we need to tackle. And with climate change, we are seeing more and more heat waves or tropical nights. This is a news in 2023 of 127 consecutive tropical nights in Funchal. So we are experiencing these things. And also, we need to be concerned about ocean heating. The speakers before me spoke about what this means regarding biodiversity. So back to the strategy. As I told you, it was approved in 2015, but it was based on 2005 climate scenarios. So the first thing we did was to study the impacts, the adaptation capacity, and the vulnerabilities towards the 8 key sectors. So let's speak a little bit about biodiversity. So this is not very clear, and it is in Portuguese, sorry, but what we did, so this is divided in the groups and then in the habitats. And the left column is the vulnerability. So you see that a lot of the habitats or groups are very vulnerable. And on the right column, you see the capacity to adapt. So some habitats are very vulnerable and have little capacity to adapt. This is for terrestrial biodiversity. For marine biodiversity, the same exercise was conducted. And what we saw back then, 2015, was that there was it was less known, so we need to study more the marine environment in order to have clear measures for it. So after this, some measures were predicted to be taken towards biodiversity. 4 cross-cutting adaptation teams arise from this exercise. So to increase resilience to extreme events, to prevent long-term trends, to increase research and innovation, and to increase training and communication. But then sectorial adaptation measures were also included in the strategy. So let's speak about biodiversity and forests, the team that is most important for today's meeting. So in biodiversity, 2 main things were predicted: to increase knowledge and to guarantee a diversified landscape supporting effective ecological corridors. In the forests, I told you about invasive species and plague monitoring. Reforestation and protection of rural forests was also very important. And the last that I will say for later in my presentation, the firefighting of forest fires. So this was really, really important, and I'll show you why later on. So regarding the increase in knowledge, what have we been doing towards this? So most of it is done by European-funded projects. This is a myriad of projects, and you see that we have projects to recover habitats, we have projects to protect species, we have projects to get to know better the deep sea, we have projects to nature restoration. So the European Union is dropping funds here, and we are using them to protect the habitats, to protect species, but also to increase knowledge on multiple issues. Then we also need to monitor species and habitats. And let me just tell you some very recent examples. So quite a few, I don't know, a week ago, we presented our third forest inventory that showed what is happening with our forests, with laurel forest, with other habitats. It's very important for adaptation, for spatial planning. It's really important. It gives us a view of what's happening with the most important habitat we have, the laurel forest. But in 2025, we presented two important reports, one on the Habitats Directive and one on the good environmental status of the Marine Strategy Framework Directive. Another very important thing, since 2019, multiple revisions of IUCN conservation status for multiple groups have been developed here in Madeira. And there are also ongoing monitoring programs for endemic species that have been ongoing since 30, 40, 50 years. So a lot has been doing to monitor what's happening with species and habitats. Now I'll give you an example of the control of invasive species. This control generally is based on plants, and we have control for multiple habitats in desertas, in selvagens, in Ponta de São Lourenço, but also in the dunes of Porto Santo, with the engagement of society, students, and other important, I don't know how to say this in English. Well, with the army, with the navy, and so on and so on. So, but also there is some control of vertebrates. You know, the mice, the rats, the rabbits, the feral cats, or the gulls. Some of them have a huge impact on specific species, so we also need to monitor and control this species. But now let's go to the most important point, the forest fires, and the need to fight forest fires here in Madeira. This is a graph that shows the annual number and the affected area by the forest fires, and you can see here I'm really sorry because I was expecting a larger screen, but let me go back. So this bar here, the green bars are the affected area, and the line, the red line, is the number of forest fires. You can see that the number of forest fires is getting lower. The tendency is to decrease, but then the area, we have some events like 2010, 2012, 16, and 2022 where we had a lot of affected area. And on the right side, it's the graph with the annual GHG emission by sector. So the yellow line, or the yellow bar, represents the land use. So whenever we have a forest fire, like in 2010, you see that the emissions go up, 2012, 2016, and the 2023 one, we still don't have the emissions, but yeah, there's not much doubt of what is going to happen. So fighting forest fires is the ultimate climate action, because otherwise we're undermining not only adaptation efforts, but also mitigation efforts. So this is the core and central action that we need to take here. And so what have we been doing about this? So planning is very important. There's a plan against to defend the forest against the fire. There are operational plans and also special dispositives to tackle forest fires. But prevention and surveillance is also important. So let me speak to you about the integrated monitoring alert and monitoring system that was developed by the local civil engineering laboratory. This is run by them. This plan here, this system, has two main branches. One for alluvium, I'm not going to go there today, but the second one is meant for forest fires, and it's based on remote detection and surveillance. This system is based on sensors and cameras that are widespread throughout the island to detect whenever a forest fire is started. And then, of course, this is complemented by human surveillance and, most recently, by drones. This could not be just about surveillance. We need to have the resources to fight the fires. So some resources were reinforced. The most important of it is that a few years ago, Madeira started to have a helicopter all year round, not just for fires. It has multiple objectives, of course. But the thing is that a second helicopter is to be set here throughout the year from this year on. So this is something that we are really focused on, but also the creation of a specific forestry safer corporation that has 30 elements is also very important to tackle the forest fires at its beginning and to prevent it to spread throughout the island. And also, of course, we needed to reinforce the traditional firefighting corporation with more means and with more adapted means to fight forest fires. Lastly, I would like to mention international cooperation and why I'm very honored to be here today, because international cooperation for us, it's key. 2 years ago, it was the European Union Civil Protection Mechanism that allowed us to have here two Canadairs, two airplanes to fight a forest fire that was ongoing for quite a few days and that affected the mountainous massive habitats, the altitude habitats. So we are proud to be integrated in this and really glad that international cooperation is ongoing. I told you that the strategy was approved in 2015 with climate scenarios of 2005. So we all know that this needs a revision. So we are ongoing a revision because the advances in climate science are so huge in the last 20 years that we need to cope with them. So we produce new regionalized climate scenarios based on another European project. And this report is available. It was made with a very specific scale, 1 square kilometer, with a reference period that is very recent, 1980 to 2010, and it has three projected time periods, so short term up to 2050, mid term and long term by the end of the century. We based it on two SSPs. You know, the SSP2 is the middle of the road, so it's not even the Paris Agreement, but it's the most likely scenario nowadays, and the SSP5 business as usual to see what is going to happen in Madeira. The variables that were modeled is temperature and rainfall, but also the sea level rise. And another one that's really important for mitigation, wind and solar radiation, because we need to know where to put our efforts in wind and solar, and if they are going to be the best spots in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. This is really important for us. Three or four conclusions. Rainfall can be reduced by 65% by the end of the century if we go by business as usual. The average temperatures can increase 2 degrees by 2050. And remember, this is from 1980 to 2010. 2 degrees by 2050 and 3 to 5 degrees by the end of the century in Madeira and in Porto Santo, just 2 degrees, just in commas, of course. Extreme rainfall events can increase nearly 50% by 2050. I showed you what alluvium does here in Madeira. And drought periods can also increase. So this is very challenging. And this combined with sea level raises of 60 to 80 centimeters by the end of the century also gives us a view of the challenge to adapt coastal infrastructure. The one of the key aspects of revising an adaptation strategy is sharing the knowledge. So everything I've said here, all the reports by 2015, all the climate scenarios, and whatever is coming from the second evaluation phase, vulnerabilities, actions, measures, that is going on and that should be finished by the end of the year, is public. And here's a QR code that I'm glad to share with you guys if you want to get in the the website. I can get back to this slide afterwards. So getting back to the question I posed you at first, why does biodiversity play such a relevant role in Madeira's adaptation strategy? I'm going to leave you with a quote. I think you all know this, Sir David Attenborough. The truth is, natural world is changing. We are totally dependent on that world. It provides our food, our water, and air. It is the most precious thing we have, and we need to defend it. So this is why. Thank you for your attention.
Muito obrigado.
Thank you, Pedro Sepúlveda, for this wonderful presentation, a very realistic one and very focused on the territory that we have seen yesterday and during this weekend, and we are going to visit during this week. And now I would like to open the Q&A for our speaker. Does anybody have a question or a comment to make? Was it that clear? There's a person, Paulo Nascimento Cabral, will now have some words to say. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you also to the President of the Legislative Assembly of Madeira. I'm going to address you in Portuguese, of course. I would like to thank Paulo Sepúlveda for this presentation. You, Pedro Sepúlveda, sorry. You are giving to us a wonderful plan for Madeira. You have given us excellent examples of what has been done and what you are going to do to face the challenges that you have to face. So this island region has to face its own challenges. I know that in the Azores, where I come from, we are a lot more victims of climate change than contributors to it. So the islands actually are not responsible, by and large, for the climate change, but we are very invested in fighting them. I would like to mention the Dom Carlos initiative that is now being in public consultation. And that will allow us to protect the sea of Portugal. And it shows the commitment that we have towards the environment. In the Azores, we have already protected around 300,000 square kilometers. And we have put pressures on fisheries, of course. And so we need to find a balance between the use of the sea, a multidimensional use of the sea, and also something that is connected to the production of energy, something that is connected to fisheries. And so we need to see what will be the losses for them due to the decrease of economic activities there. And so we need to also see what are the stresses on these scarce resources, of course. I would like also to mention the birds that are very important for the sector. And so there's an interdependency between the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. And so we need to make sure that all of the species can be continue and move from the Atlantic to the Mediterranean, namely fish. species that are very important there for our fisheries. There's also a big impact on agricultural farming, agricultural use. There's also an impact of human activity that are fundamental for the self-sustainability of the region of Madeira and the different islands, but also have an impact on the greenhouse emission. And so we have to understand that there are some activities that produce more pollution or greenhouse gases. And so we also need to understand, I would like to understand if you have quantified the economic exclusive area of the sea and also the laurel forests. Have you taken all of that into consideration? Thank you for asking your question. I focused on adaptation, and your question goes more in line with mitigation. And so we have an inventory that has been published, and we see that the two sectors that most contribute to our sustainability are the energy field. And so we have a big challenge on that. Of course, the Azores have the geothermal sources, but we don't. And so the fact is that clean energy here is produced by water, which is already a scarce resource. Another sector that has an impact is the transport sector. And due to our geography, that is an added difficulty. And some of our solutions are technically harder to implement. So there are some solutions that have been implemented in the European land, but continental land, but we cannot implement them here. I have not mentioned the huge efforts that we are doing in terms of mitigation, but we have done them. We have tried to produce clean energy and reduce our carbon footprint in the region. You have also mentioned the laurel forest. That is very important for us. And indeed, that is a forest that is an aged forest, but it does not have that big a role in carbon in our carbon footprint. And so what we need to do is try to balance mitigation and adaptation step by step here. And we are also starting with the carbon markets. We have tried to implement a lot of measures. We have a project of carbon offset that allows the local companies and those who come to us through tourism or otherwise can minimize their footprint, because they cannot reach us by train, of course. They have to fly here, so the carbon footprint will always be bigger. And so we need to allow our companies to do this offset. So we are talking about net contribution. Of course, the region's contribution is a small part of the contribution of Portugal, but all of the contributions are important, so we need to all work together towards decreasing our carbon footprint.
Mais uma
Thank you. wonderful presentation. We had three wonderful presentations. I would like to thank you all for the contributions that you have made for the development of this region and also of Portugal and all of the European Union. We have always tried to work towards in energy sustainability and working towards preserving water as a essential resource, and it's something that we need to protect at the world level. Now we have a problem related to the transportation of our interpreters and some of the members of our delegations, and so I would like to ask all of you who would like to say something, please do now. So in this stage, Turkey has already said that they wanted to say, the European Parliament, they also wanted to say a few words. Bulgaria, Cyprus, Morocco, so European Parliament, you are going to talk twice. Yes.
Thank you very much. Ms. President, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, thank you for the opportunity to be here and for the invitation to take part in this discussion in such a unique place. Being on Madeira helps us immediately understand how extraordinary and at the same time how fragile this island ecosystem is. It is a place that impresses with its nature diversity, landscapes, and the wise, long-standing relationship between people and nature. As a member of the European Parliament from Poland, I observe with great respect the efforts undertaken to protect the local environment, in particular forests, water resources, and the coastline. Many of these actions are carried out within existing European frameworks, such as the Nature 2000 Network, the Water Framework Directive, and the LIFE Programme, which for many years have formed the basis of the European Union's common environmental policy. The examples from Madeira show, however, how important flexible implementation of this instrument is, with full respect for local conditions. At the same time, we cannot overlook the challenges facing Madeira: tourism pressure, coastal erosion, risk to water resources, and the impacts of climate change are issues which are also specific to island regions, are also well known in many other parts of Europe. This is why in the work of the European Parliament, including in the Committee on the Environment, we so often stress the need to take into account particularly sensitive regions such as islands and coastal areas. In the context of the Mediterranean regions, actions should place particular emphasis on the need to protect wildlife and to address the ongoing degradation of terrestrial and marine ecosystems, especially in coastal and island areas, which are characterized by a high level of vulnerability to anthropogenic pressure and the impact of climate change. In this regard, it is essential to promote integrated and sustainable management of natural resources, including measures to prevent biodiversity loss, habitat degradation, marine pollution, and the over-exploitation of nature resources. These actions should be carried out while fully respecting of fully respecting the competences of the member states and taking into account socio-economic conditions and the needs of local communities. In Poland, we face similar dilemmas, protecting sensitive ecosystem, managing water resources, and safeguarding areas exposed to extreme weather events. That is why, from my perspective, approaches based on local knowledge, the responsibility of member states, and solutions tailored to real regional conditions are especially important. As a member of the Committee on the Environment in the European Parliament, I consistently support solutions that provide additional and flexible support for the most remote regions, because these regions are the ones most affected by geographical and climate constraints. In conclusion, I would like to extend my sincere thanks to our host for the excellent preparation of the visit program. It proved extremely valuable and provided a solid basis for today's meeting and for the inspiring and very engaging discussions we have had. I would also like to thank you for your openness, kindness, and the warm welcome extended to all delegations, which made us feel truly welcome from the very beginning. My special thanks go to Eduardo and his entire team for their great commitment, professionalism, and the friendly atmosphere you created. Thank you. This visit was not only highly valuable from a substantive point of view, but also a truly pleasant and inspiring experience. Thank you very much. Thank you for all Turkish delegation. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, nós.
We thank you. We have to indeed meet the requirements and to meet the experience of all the members of this committee. So thank you on behalf of Portugal to the European Parliament and to all of you. So I would like to ask our colleagues from Turkey to give their place to Morocco first, because we have some restraints regarding the interpretation. So first, we are going to hear from them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Sayyida al-Ra'i. حضرات الزميلات والزملاء البرلمانيين، أن أتدخل باسم المملكة المغربية في هذا الاجتماع الهام في إطار أشغال هذه اللجنة لتقاسم بعض المعالم التجربة المغربية في حماية البيئة البرية والبحرية، باعتبارها ركيزة أساسية للتنمية المستدامة في الفضاء المتوسط. لقد جعل المغرب تحت القيادة الرشيدة لصاحب الجلالة الملك محمد السادس نصره الله الانتقال البيئي والطاقي خياراً استراتيجياً ترجم إلى سياسات عمومية واضحة ومشاريع كبرى ذات أثر ملموس. فعلى مستوى الطاقات المتجددة، انخراط المغرب في أحد أكثر البرامج طموحاً بالمنطقة، حيث يهدف إلى بلوغ أزيد من 52% من القدرة الكهربائية المركبة من مصادر متجددة في أفق 2030، ويعد مركب نور وارزازات للطاقة الشمسية الذي يصنف ضمن أكثر المشاريع من نوعه عالي عالميا نموذجا بارزا في تقليص الانبعاثات الكربونية وتعزيز السيادة الطاقية إلى جانب مشاريع كبرى في طاقتي الرياح والماء. أما فيما يتعلق بتدبير المياه المائية وتحلية مياه البحر، فقد اعتمد المغرب سياسة استباقية لمواجهة الإجهاد المائي والتغييرات المناخية من خلال إنجاز وتشغيل محطات كبرى لتحلية مياه البحر، من بينها محطة أكادير ومحطة الدار البيضاء في إطار الإنجاز. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So now we are going to hear our friends from Turkey, and I think that there will be a translation. So please, Mustafa, you have the floor.
Kıymetli üyeler, hanımefendiler, beyefendiler, bugün burada.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, we are here meeting regarding a global issue that affects all of us. It's the protection of wildlife and the fact that our wildlife is becoming increasingly poor, and we are in an intersection of three geographical areas in Turkey, so we have a special responsibility in conservation. We, as a country, have a fundamental role in the natural balance of the Mediterranean regarding species of endemic plants and also the migration routes of birds and also the maritime ecosystems. We have widened our protected areas. We have national parks, natural parks, and areas for the development of wildlife. Regarding the conservation of marine ecosystems, we have also increased our areas in the Mediterranean Sea and also in the Aegean Sea. And we have we are developing our activities to support sustainable fisheries. So we have scientific studies trying to deal with the seals and also different areas in the conservation of the ecosystem. We have a zero waste policy in Turkey, and that has been very important to reduce the pollution both at sea and in land. And we have already received an award from the United Nations, and we have been able to increase our goals to achieve the global net zero. So the fact is that measures taken by a single country are not enough, and so we need to share data, we need to have joint mechanisms, and we have to have empowering training and qualification efforts. The Paris Agreement has been ratified by the Turkish Parliament, and we have started now our efforts to contribute to that. We have different projects that study different ecosystems in both in land and in sea. And we are trying and we are studying the current situation of all regions. And the idea is to reduce the loss of biodiversity, to fight climate change, and to make sure that there is a balance between conservation and use. So we have now reached 13% of our surface in the country that is currently protected. So 13% of our country is of protected areas. Within the COP31 of the United Nations, we are also contributing. And the goal is to reduce the emissions, not just in the territory of Turkey. We want to increase the resilience of all of the Mediterranean. And that's our focus. Nowadays, what we are trying to publish, we are going to try to make it important for future generations. I would like to thank you, first of all, for having invited us. I would like to thank Eduardo Teixeira for our visit last night and our dinner last night. And I would also like to thank our Member of Parliament from the Azores to be here. And so we hope that the future meeting could take place in the Azores so that we can indeed contribute to that. So we would like to go there as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Samuel.
Teşekkür ederim.
Sayın Başkan, değerli katılımcılar, insanlığın ortak doğal miraslarından
biri. Mr. President and all of the dear President and all of the other people here, we have met to discuss a vital topic, the conservation of wildlife in the Mediterranean, and it's one of the most important places in for World Heritage. And I would like to thank the Portuguese Parliament, and also I'd like to thank the Autonomous Region of Madeira and the Azores. We have been here for 2 days, and we are very well impressed by all of the landscape and the people here. And we are very happy to have this meeting here. And we are happy to see that we do not have wars here. And it's good to see that here in the Madeira Island, we are at peace. And if we have a peace, we can overcome all of the obstacles. We have listened to 3 important researchers who have presented to us and conveyed their projects and shared with us their projects. And we also know that Turkey has a big presence in the coastal area. We have a big coastal area in the Mediterranean. And as he said, we must not work towards the common goal being alone. We need to have a common responsibility, and we need cooperation between all of the different countries to solve these global issues. We have also to diversify the different policies in agriculture and also in fisheries, and we also need qualification and training for climate adaptation. The regional mechanisms to share knowledge are important, and the funding is also very important. Protecting nature should not hinder development. It should be a starting point for the development. Mr. Mustafa has already mentioned that the Prime Minister of Turkey has already started these projects, and so Turkey started in 1995. And in Barcelona, we have already become a member of the Barcelona Agreement, and we are trying to meet all of the requirements of that agreement. So all of the developments that we have done are important, and we know that we have to monitor all the actions of the different states. So we need to have the participation of governments and also universities and all the stakeholders. So concerning energy, Turkey is already trying to meet our goals and the different requirements. Regarding renewables, is something that we are increasing. Renewables now account for 33% of the energy produced in Turkey. We are working towards the zero emissions. And we also want our industries to use 100% of renewable energy. Of course, we need support and financing for the costs of that. And that is an issue that we have also to consider. Nonetheless, I would like to thank the president of the Energy Committee that has welcomed us in different regions of Portugal. We were able to get to know the different places in Portugal, and we were able to see the different impacts of the climate changes and different issues. I would also like to have the next meeting in the Azores, because we have a lot to say. We are also going to have the economy committee meeting in Istanbul in May, and so we would like to welcome all of you there. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now we will have the delegation from Bulgaria, Mr. Kirill, and afterwards Milena can do.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to participate in this forum. I saw wonderful presentations and excellent communication between scientists and politicians.
Припомних си основни понятия от моята професия. Аз съм хидрогеолог, въпреки че политиката е заличила голяма част от теоретичните ми знания.
I recalled basic concepts from my profession, hydrogeology, even though politics has erased much of my theoretical knowledge.
Вярно е, че науката ясно показва, че възстановената природа е една от най-ефективните защити срещу климатичните рискове. И днес говорим, че в борбата с климатичните промени има два основни стълба – превенцията и адаптацията.
It is true that science clearly shows that restored nature is one of the most effective defenses against climate risks. And today we say that there are two main pillars in the fight against climate change: prevention and adaptation.
Колкото по-рано действаме, толкова по-малка е цената на обществото.
The sooner we act, the lower the cost to society.
Европейските анализи показват, че за всяко едно евро, вложено на време в мерки за климатична адаптация, спестяваме по 14 евро от бъдещи щети.
The European analysis show that every euro invested in climate adaptation measures in a timely manner saves up to 14 euros in future damages.
Това е аргумент не само екологичен, а и чисто икономически. България също е особено уязвима.
This is not only an environmental argument, but also a purely economic one. Bulgaria is also particularly vulnerable to climate change.
По данни на европейските институции, Европа се затопля два пъти по-бързо от средното за света, а Югоизточна Европа, включително и България, сред най-рисковите региони.
According to the data from the European institutions, Europe is warming twice as fast as the global average, and Southeast Europe, including Bulgaria, is among the most at-risk regions.
Нямаме климатична граница, която да ни предпази. Екстремалните явления, които днес виждаме в други държави, ще се случат все по-често и у нас.
We have no climate border to protect us. The extreme events we are witnessing today in other countries will occur more and more frequently in our country.
В този контекст възстановяването на българското черноморско крайбрежие в зоните край Атанасовското езеро, езеро Това и Дуранкулак е реална мярка за климатична адаптация, която предпазва хората, инфраструктурата и икономиката.
In this context, the restoration of the Bulgarian Black Sea coast in areas such as the Lake Atanasovo, the Vaia Lake and Durankulak Lake is not just about protecting nature, but a real measure of climate adaptation that protects people, infrastructure and the economy.
Но за да има ясен резултат, е необходима ясна посока. Науката трябва да дава решения, а политиката – воля и инструменти те да се прилагат.
But to achieve results, a clear direction is needed. Science must provide the solutions and politics must provide the will and the tools to implement them.
Само когато учените и политиците работят в една посока, превенцията и адаптацията могат да бъдат успешни.
Only when scientists and politicians work together can prevention and adaptation be successful.
Изборът е политически. Или инвестираме на време в устойчиви природосъобразни решения, или плащаме многократно по-висока цена с публични средства и с загубени възможности. България подкрепя политики, основани на науката, дългосрочния обществен интерес и отговорността към бъдещите поколения.
The choice is political. Either we invest in sustainable, environmentally friendly solutions on time, either we pay later much more and expensive with public funds and lost opportunities. Bulgaria supports policies based on science, long-term public interest and responsibility towards future generations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Obrigado, Will.
Thank you. A wonderful intervention that are very important for our plenary sessions. Thank you for all of you who have shared with us your knowledge and your experience, and also all of the academic knowledge as well. We are running against time, but I would like to thank you all for being here, all of the members of parliament, all of the members of the committee, and would like to especially thank the president of the Legislative Assembly of Madeira for welcoming us here and for giving us all of the resources. And I would also like to thank the Assembly of the Republic and all of the technicians, Mr. Gomes, who is also very active in this Mediterranean parliament, and also the company that have has organized the event, Mr. Pereira and others. You have been very committed to the organization of this event. So I would like to ask you a round of applause, because behind the politicians, there is always a big team that works a lot. I would also like to ask if there are any other points, because the agenda mentions that. Any other? We are going to have another meeting also during the month of May. So if there's no other business, that's good. The next meeting of the committee is going, we know that we have in April a forum, and in May we are going to have several committee meetings, the economics committee and the political business and the energy committee. So it's a plenary committee, a full plenary committee. And we are going to share with you very soon when the next meeting will be. Thank you for being here. We have the lunch, then we have a visit to the Madeira wine cellars, and I would like to thank the president of the regional government of Madeira who joined us. Thank you very much. We are now going to have a picture taken in the room, the main room of the sessions, the in the of the parliament, and then we are going to walk to the restaurant. So it's half a minute to reach the restaurant. It's very quick. And I would also like to call the speakers to us, because we have a small memento from the Portuguese government and the Legislative Assembly. So thank you for being here. Without you, this meeting would not have been the same. Thank you. Thank you all.